This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 40. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Braja Dham, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after His disappearance from the rasa dance. Purport. By intense ecstasy and loving service, the damsels of Rajabhumi attained qualitative oneness with the Lord by dancing with Him on an equal level, embracing Him in nuptial love, smiling at Him in a joke, and looking at Him with a loving attitude. The relation of the Lord with Arjuna is undoubtedly praiseworthy for devotees like Bhishma Dev, but the relation of the gopis with the Lord is still more praiseworthy because of their still more purified loving service. By the grace of the Lord, Arjuna was fortunate enough to have the fraternal service of the Lord as chariot driver. But the Lord did not award Arjuna with equal strength. The gopis, however, practically became one with the Lord by attainment of equal footing with the Lord. Bhishma's aspiration to remember the gopis is a prayer to have their mercy also at the last stage of his life. The Lord is satisfied more when His pure devotees are glorified. And therefore, Bhishma Dev has not only glorified the acts of Arjuna, his immediate object of attraction, but has also remembered the gopis who were endowed with unrivaled opportunities by rendering loving service to the Lord. The gopis' equality with the Lord should never be misunderstood to be like the Sayujya liberation of the impersonalist. The equality is one of perfect ecstasy, where the differential conception is completely eradicated, for the interests of the lover and the beloved become identical. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa pranaya nirikshana kalpitoru mana kritta manu kritta vatya unmadhandha prakritim agan kila yasya gopa vadvaha. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Braja Dham, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after His disappearance from the rasa dance. Mukham karoti bachalam pangam langayate girim yad kripataraham vande sri gurum dinataranam. In last night's program, one devotee, Bhakti Kishore, had a question. His question was, what is the level of advancement that one should be on in order to understand his swarup? That means, okay, let's stop this now. No, you go sit down. Insanity. So he asked, what is the level of advancement that one must be on in order to know one's swarup? So I replied that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually given all of us, all living entities, instruction on our swarup. We can all know immediately. We can all know immediately, in a general way, what our swarup is, and we can immediately act on that. So who knows what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said about the swarup? Yes. This is the first thing we should understand, that we are all Nitya Krishna Das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. And we may immediately begin acting on that platform. Actually, as a matter of fact, all living entities are already acting on that platform. But the service that the living entities are rendering to Krishna is of two kinds: direct and indirect. Direct service is being rendered by the devotees of the Lord, those living entities who are conscious that they are servants of Krishna. They are conscious that they are eternal part and parcel of Krishna. Whereas other living entities are, we could say in this material world, most all service. Most living entities in this material world are unconscious of that, although they're rendering service. So that service is called indirect, because they're serving the Lord's Maya Shakti, his material energy. She's dictating, now serve your tongue, now serve your belly, now serve your genital, like this. She's now serve birth, old age, disease, death. She's dictating, and everyone's serving. Of course, they're also serving the illusion of thinking that they're the master. That's also another service. They're thinking, I'm not serving anyone, I am the master. But that's another kind of service. Because they're serving the ahamkara, the false ego feature of Maya. So everyone is Nitya Krishna Das, an eternal servant of Krishna. The difference between living entities is whether they're serving directly or indirectly. So, as far as reviving our direct service to Krishna, that opportunity is offered to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has given this revelation. You are all Nitya Krishna Das. So he has come in the form of Mahaprabhu. What does Mahaprabhu mean? Bhakta Mike, tell us now. We're every day calling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What does it mean? Not exactly. It's a nice try, but Mahaprabhu has a specific meaning. It consists of two words, Maha and Prabhu. So Shavananda, what does Maha mean?
Great.
And Bhakti Marasa, what does Prabhu mean?
Master.
So Mahaprabhu means great master, the greatest master, the supreme lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it is stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Now Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are not worshipped in the same way as Sri Sri Lakshmi Narayan, who are Almighty God and the Almighty Potency of God. Of course, they're Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, they're the same Supreme Personalities of Godhead. But the mood is different. The mood of Sri Sri Lakshmi Narayan is called Aishwarya Bhava. That means the devotees of Lakshmi Narayan worship them in a mood of great awe and reverence. Whereas the worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Krishna is Madhura Bhava, a mood of sweet, intimate love. Very personal. Like, and this example is given by Bhishma Dev, like that of the gopis. They worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna, but he has come into this world as Mahaprabhu, as the great Lord, to establish this basic relationship of master and servant. That is the basic transcendental relationship between a direct service relationship between the living entity and the Lord. So we all have the opportunity now in this age of Kali to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as our Lord and Master and to serve Him. How do we serve Him? Frederick, tell us.
Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Yes, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Go on Sankirtan. Engage in the Sankirtan Dharma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Krishna Varnit Visa Krishna Sango Pangastra Parshadam, that in this age of Kali, Lord Krishna has come again. He was here in Dwarpara Yuga. Then he was Krishna. He was dark, of blackish complexion. But now he's come again. He's Akrishna. He's not dark. He's golden in form. Sango Pangastra Parshadam. And he's come with his associates. And here you see them. There is Sri Nityananda on the left, and more to the left is Advaitacharya, and to the right is Gadadhar and Srivas. These are his Parshadas, his eternal associates. And together they are the Panchatattva, the fivefold manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So he has come Why has he come? Yagyaya Sankirtana Prayaya. He has come to perform, to lead us all in the Sankirtan Yagya. This is the effective Yagya, the effective sacrifice in this age for satisfying the Supreme Lord. In previous age, the Yagya, Agnihotra Yagya, was performed to satisfy the Yagya Purush, Lord Vishnu. But now we are not able to perform this Agnihotra Yagya. Why is that? Why are we gopi? Tell us, please. Because you are a gopi. Because your name is Gauranga Premananda. So your swarup is a gopi, obviously. So now you will tell us why. Why these Agnihotra Yagyas are no longer effective in this age. Why we cannot perform them. Ah, yes.
And because the opulence is generally not available.
Yes. Because in those old fire sacrifices, they used to offer hundreds and hundreds of pounds of gold at a time into the fire. And who is going to collect such gold nowadays? So yes, and as you said, we cannot pronounce the Vedic mantras properly. Moreover, in this age, the demigods don't come. They don't come to the earth in Kali Yuga. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this Nam Sankirtan Yagya. And there's a very nice mantra, only one mantra that we must chant in this Yagya. What is that mantra? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all of you pronounce that very nicely. So just see how easy it is. So we worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as our Lord and Master, the Supreme Lord, by way of this Sankirtan movement. And then, as that worship matures and becomes perfect, this is worship in the mood of Dasya. Who knows what Dasya means? Dasya? Dasyarati? That means the mood of... Alright, let me ask a more fundamental question. The initiated devotees here have the name Das. What does that mean?
Servant,
yes. So Dasya means in the mood of servitude. So this is one of the five rasas, the five relationships that one has with Krishna in one's swarup. As one's swarup is revealed, and then he has the opportunity to approach Krishna in one of, actually, Vaishnavas say, one of four transcendental loving relationships, because Vaishnavas don't really consider the Sayujya or the Shanti Rasa to really be Vaishnava liberation. So the first of the four is Dasya, the mood of servitude. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed that we all have that in common. Because all rasas, even Madhura rasa, it is manifested out of this fundamental relationship of dasya, of service. The gopis are serving Krishna. They're serving Krishna in great ecstasy, in a mood of conjugal love, but they're serving Krishna. All devotees serve Krishna. So this is what must be established first of all. This service relationship. And that is why Sri Chaitanya has come as Mahaprabhu, that we may all serve him through this Sankirtan Yagya. And when that service is perfected, when it matures, when we become actually fixed in carrying out the order of the Lord, and we have a very nice example from the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go forth door to door in Navadvip and ask everyone to do three things. He gave them this order. You go preach on my behalf, asking all the residents of Navadvip Dham to engage in three things. Shamananda, what are these three things? Bolo Krishna, that's one.
And to think of Krishna.
That's, yeah, that your thinking is speculation. Yes, three things. To worship Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna, and to receive Krishna Shika, his instructions. In other words, to study the literature, to hear from pure devotees the philosophy. So actually, this is the... We can compare Lord Chaitanya's movement to a trident with these three points. This is what we want to see everyone doing. This is our mission, to engage people in worshipping Krishna. Therefore we have Hare Krishna temples, so that they may come and bow down before the deity and make some offering to the Lord. We certainly want everyone to chant Hare Krishna mantra, and we want everyone to take Prabhupada's books and read, and become educated in this shiksha, and this knowledge, this instruction. So, Lord Nityananda and Sri Haridas Thakur, they went forward door to door and requested everyone to take up this threefold process. And some people accepted, some people just laughed and took it as a joke. And some people became angry. Who became angry? So who are those demons?
Kali worshippers.
That's true, but I'm looking for some names. There's some specific persons who are remembered as having become very angry when they were approached by Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. What were their names? But you don't know who did this?
No.
Acha, so now you pay attention and you will learn. Shamananda, who did that? Jagayan Mother, yes. So, also, this is what happens when we go and preach in this age. Some people are saying, oh, that's very nice. Yes, I will certainly worship Krishna, chant his holy name, and read this transcendental book you've given me. And others just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Crazy Hare Krishna. In fact, I was once told that in Copenhagen some years ago, in the 60s or 70s, among the freaks, the hippies, there was an expression. If someone went completely crazy, they'd say, he's gone Hare Krishna. So some people think like that we're just crazy. And others actually become angry. And they want to do harm to the devotees. So this is all part of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When one serves a master, sometimes this means undergoing trouble, being laughed at. But a servant, he sticks to a service. That defines him as being a real servant. One who is loyal to the master in all circumstances. And by this loyalty, he pleases the master. The master actually accepts him as not just an official designated servant, but actually as a confidential servant, as one who can be trusted in all circumstances. And this is the meaning of becoming perfect in this Dasya Rasya with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Chaitanya recognizes, oh, this is my real servant. This devotee is ready to go through hell and high water to execute my mission. So for such persons who actually become established in this definition of Swarup, basic definition that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, Jivera Swarup Hoy Nityara Krishna Das, who have actually shown that they are Nitya Krishna Das, eternally, under all circumstances, they are simply the Lord's servant. Then the Lord reveals his Vrindavan form. See, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in his merciful form as Lord Gauranga to preach and to attract us to his lotus feet and engage us in his service. But as Narottam Das Thakur has said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. This is Radha and Krishna. This same Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna in the eternal Braja, in the eternal Vrindavan Dham. So when one becomes established as the Lord's servant and recognized by the Lord, and then at the right moment, when Lord Chaitanya is pleased with that devotee, then he reveals his form as Radha and Krishna. And then this service, of course, goes on, but the service goes on in terms of the intimate Braja mood, the intimate mood of Vrindavan Dham. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, chapter 18, he explains that to attain this intimate relationship, Vrindavan relationship with the Lord, cannot be done artificially. You see, these sahajyas, they try to artificially generate these intimate sentiments. But actually, there is only one way, the way that Mahaprabhu has offered us, and that is the way of serving the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sankirtan and pleasing him, and in this way getting his mercy. So we told, and that is very easy because Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. In answering this question last night, we told the account which is given, is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan at the house of Srivas with the devotees, one Muslim tailor, now Muslims are, their habits are very low, they're meat eaters, they're impersonalists, and their religion is very impersonal. So one Muslim, but this Muslim was a servant of Srivas Thakur. He would sew his clothes. So he happened, by his great fortune, to actually see the Sankirtan performance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. And he was thinking, as he was seeing and hearing the kirtan, oh, this is very wonderful. He was looking at Lord Chaitanya, his beautiful form as Gauranga, and was thinking, how nice, how splendid the Lord looks, how wonderfully he is dancing. And Lord Chaitanya, being the all-pervading super soul, knew immediately this appreciation within this Muslim tailor's heart. So for him, he revealed his form as Radha and Krishna. Even the other Vaishnavas there who were chanting and dancing with the Lord, they did not see. Only for this one Muslim tailor, he showed his form as Radha and Krishna. Whole of Vrindavan suddenly was manifest there. And this Muslim tailor found himself in Vrindavan. And so he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, and he was jumping high in the air and crying, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. And all the other devotees were amazed at the mercy Lord Chaitanya had given this fortunate soul, who seemed externally to be so unqualified. So this is our great hope, that Lord Chaitanya is so kind, that if we try to serve him. And what is important, we hear from the verse yesterday, Bhagavati Ratir, text 39. Bhagavati Ratir astu me mimur shor. Grandfather Bhishma Dev is praying that may I become attracted, may I have this Bhagavat Rati. Rati means attraction. So may I have Rati, pure emotional attachment or attraction to Bhagavan, to Lord Krishna. This is actually the mood that will attract the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon us. That if we serve his lotus feet with rati, with loving attraction, with attachment, that my dear Lord Gauranga, just like this tailor, you are so beautiful, you are dancing so wonderfully, you are so merciful, how nice it is. How nice it is that I have this opportunity to see you, to associate with you. So this rati, Lord Chaitanya is so immediately moved, so profoundly moved, when a living entity manifests this kind of loving attachment. And then he bestows all his mercy upon that person. So this is a wonderful opportunity Lord Chaitanya is offering, so we should... Those, as it is stated in this verse, I was quoting, Yogyaya Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. It's a matter of intelligence. One who's intelligent, he will say, oh, this is my chance. Although this is Kali Yuga, it is so hellish, I'm so fallen, still, the door back to God, it is open, so let me race through it with full enthusiasm. Let me serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is intelligent. And someone who continues to speculate and wonder, well, is this right? is Lord Chaitanya really God? Is Sankirtan really the only way? Well, the Bible says this, and the black tantras say that, and the Kundalini yogis are doing this other thing. And anyway, there's so much sense gratification here in Amsterdam. So many nice girls on their bicycles. Why should I just fix my mind? So that's unintelligent. That's not very intelligent. So faced with this opportunity, we should intelligently take it with full enthusiasm, embrace it into our heart. And then Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, will accept us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki!
Jai!
Shiva Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki!
Jai!
Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo! Any questions? Everyone's ready now to go on Sankirtan.
Jai!
Jai! Sankirtan ki jai!
Jai!
Mother Saraswati.
Raj, is the... Like, what is the activity that... That makes in Lord Chaitanya's movement that makes us develop this love for Krishna. I mean, is it the execution of Lord Chaitanya's mission, or is it? Because one person said that I heard that from some other group. He said that book distribution will not take you back to Godhead. will not make you develop love of Godhead.
Oh, you see, this is the problem. They do not understand Lord Chaitanya's mission. And Lord Chaitanya has so kindly come as Mahaprabhu. This is all explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's come as Mahaprabhu, offering us services to his lotus feet. And these are Sankirtan services. So, book distribution, this is certainly one of the services. We see... Who was it? Shamananda? There were three. Naratam, Shamananda, and who was the other?
Srinivas
Thakur. Yes. So, and who was the one who got the books from the king?
Srinivas.
Yes. So, Srinivas Thakur. Anyway, there is a story of these great followers of Mahaprabhu. And Srinivas Thakur, he actually transported the books of the Goswamis to Bengal and had them copied and distributed. So this is very much a part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And moreover, Srila Prabhupada, who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's representative to the whole world, he has particularly stated that book distribution, the BBT, is his heart. So if we serve the heart of Srila Prabhupada, then we become exceptionally dear to him. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, there are so many services in the Sankirtan movement, no doubt, but Srila Prabhupada has specifically pointed to this one as being most pleasing to him. So if we engage in book distribution, then we especially satisfy Srila Prabhupada. This is, as I was saying, the special test. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent out Nityananda and Haridas Thakur on this special mission. Kare Krishna Shiksha, we said that also. This is one of the three. Kare Krishna Shiksha also means to take Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita, and read it. They underwent very great difficulty in executing this order of the Lord, and they became especially dear. Their service was especially pleasing to Mahaprabhu. So similarly, if we serve Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books, we become especially dear to him and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Think about this. Until, first of all, we become recognized as the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because all further development of rasa, sakya, vatsalya, and madhura, it must arise from the basic dasya. Huh? So until one becomes established as this, Lord Chaitanya's servant, recognized by him, then there's no question of developing Krishna prema, the braja mood of love of Krishna. This is just an exercise in the, you know, sahaja process. They think that artificially, you know, they will chant Krishna's name and try to force quivering of the vocal cords and force some tears to come out and roll on the ground. And now I have love because I cried. Any actor can do this. Actually, love is bestowed by Lord Chaitanya. And he bestows that love in return for service. So, clearly, if one becomes established in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, he's becoming established in service to Lord Chaitanya. Yes?
I believe it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada says that one recognizes an advanced devotee by his engagement in Chaitanya's mission. And yet sometimes, like we see that people from different groups, they don't engage very much in his mission. So then still, many times we say, oh, but they're Vaishnavas, they're very, he's an advanced Vaishnava.
Well, that, you know, that depends on if we're talking about you see, that depends on who exactly you're talking about. I don't like to make generalizations. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had many disciples, and some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, these disciples, yes, they were not supportive of Srila Prabhupada's preaching, but they even criticized and tried to make obstructions in different ways. And Prabhupada would speak, Prabhupada would even become angry, and he would speak about them very directly. But also, whenever one of Prabhupada's disciples might take up the hammer, in other words, one of Prabhupada's disciples said in Prabhupada's presence about one of his godbrothers who was criticizing Srila Prabhupada and obstructing the mission in different ways. So this disciple of Prabhupada said, oh, he's a rascal. And Prabhupada immediately said, you cannot say that. And when this same disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the same godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, when he left this world, he left while Prabhupada was still present. Prabhupada said he went back to Goloka Vrindavan. So, you know, in transcendental affairs, it's difficult for us to understand. So we have to be, if we're talking about Vaishnavas of that caliber, who are related with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as disciple, or their grand disciples and their sannyasis in good standing. And of course, in this Saraswati family of devotees, everybody preaches, everybody is performing Sankirtan. And if there's some difference of opinion, that's also to be understood. That's also there because everyone's a person, everyone's an individual. So we have to be very, very careful about generalizing in that way. But if you're talking about, especially common people who consider themselves to be maybe they're followers of such Vaishnavas, but we see they themselves are not situated in renunciation, actually. And they're not engaged in preaching. And they're just criticizing. And they try to collect followers by coming to the ISKCON temple and mixing among the new guests and whispering in their ear that this is not really devotional service, this is not, and creating doubts, and then, you know, separating them from our association. And then once, because Prabhupada says, there's a purport. When I was in Poland recently, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, he mentioned a purport by Srila Prabhupada, in which Srila Prabhupada says that you can see spiritual, that one is spiritually advanced, is spiritually advanced when his activities of devotional service, his activities of Krishna consciousness are distinct from his material background. And just like when someone becomes a devotee, joins the temple, then he may have, his background may be that he's a resident of Amsterdam or whatever, and used to be a hippie and this and that, and was doing so many nonsense things. But now he's become a devotee. Now he's a different person. His activities as a devotee, his identity as a devotee, is distinct from that background. You see? So, Prabhupada says, there we can understand. He is actually making progress in Krishna consciousness. But when one has not actually received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas, then Prabhupada says, he may do some Krishna seva, some type of service to Krishna, chant the holy name. There may be devotional activities, but those activities will not be distinct from his material background. In other words, when you see him, the face looks dark and dull, you don't think that he's a devotee when you see him. And you see in his daily life, there's so many discrepancies, so many indications that he's not purified. Then at the same time, he may be doing something, you know. He may have an altar at home. He may be chanting Hare Krishna or this and that. And that's not to say that this is bad. Of course, he's also a very fortunate soul. But if his activities of devotion to Krishna are not distinct from his material background, then we can understand that he's not really received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's a fact. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya brings one up to the transcendental platform. Actually, mukti hedvanyata rupam svarupena vivastita. This statement is in Bhagavatam, that mukti means to become established in one's eternal engagement of service to Krishna. So Prabhupada says, and this happens immediately, when we are accepted into Lord Chaitanya's mission. It's not that we have to give up. Prabhupada once said, it's not that you have to get four arms and eight legs, you know, some wonderful transformation like that, and then you're understood as liberated. If one is accepted into Lord Chaitanya's mission, and as I said, his activities in that mission are distinct from his material background, that means he's liberated. Muktir hitvanyata anyata rupam. Anya means another. He has attained another form, even in this body. He's attained another form, the form of a devotee. He's effulgent. Prabhupada used to say that sometimes people would come up when he would be in a public place like airport, and his disciples would be there. Once in America, one man came up and asked Srila Prabhupada. He was looking at Prabhupada's disciples. They're all from America, but he couldn't believe it. He was saying, are they Americans? Because they look so different. They're so effulgent. He couldn't figure out where they're from. He knew they weren't Indians. He could see Srila Prabhupada is an Indian Swami. But these followers are not Indians. So where are they from? They're not Americans, are they? What country do they come from? They come from Vaikuntha. Although still carrying this body, if one becomes accepted into Lord Chaitanya's mission, he's accepted as a resident of Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. And that's seen because he's effulgent. So this is called Jivan Mukta. Liberation within the same body. And that is accomplished when one becomes 100% engaged in the service. But when the service is mixed up with the material sense gratification, then that means one has not actually become established in one's liberated position. One has not actually received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes?
Maybe I was a little bit confident realizing that, although, for example, yeah, by some years of emotional service following the practices, that everybody receives some kind of taste. But is it correct then that in order to keep the taste and increase the taste and really keep it alive, you have to continue to, it cannot become something theoretical, you have to continue to give yourself to perform some austerities which accompany actually the process, actually going, rising early, going to the temple, whether it means walking down the stairs or, you know, getting in the car or on the bicycle. You actually have to do it in order to really, really keep appreciating. Is that true?
Yes. Well, I mean, one has to stay within the fire of Krishna consciousness. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, Lord Chaitanya, has come to give us these three things which constitute the fire of devotional service. If one, as we've been saying, if one is actually accepted by Lord Chaitanya, recognized by Lord Chaitanya, then his whole persona is transformed from material to spiritual, even within the same body. Yeah. Speaking of a transcendental person, Kanama Kanana Prabhu Ki Jai! Straight from Vrindavan.
Not exactly, Brooklyn.
Well, by way of Brooklyn, you come from Vrindavan to here. Hare Krishna. There's these three things, Vairagya, renunciation, Vidya, spiritual knowledge, and Bhakti Yoga, activities of devotion. So they must be evident in the life of a devotee. And that way we can understand this transformation has taken place. If one by one, after some time, you know, one becomes a devotee, but after 5 years, 10 years, these things start to drop away. We don't see any more Vairagya. And then the Vidya goes. And then what is the question of Bhakti Yoga then? You see, as I was saying, you know, there are these people in the shadow of ISKCON who claim to be devotees and do something, you know, something that looks like devotional service. But actually, we don't see a spiritual personality there. We don't see a spiritual persona. We don't see renunciation. We don't even see really spiritual knowledge. All we hear from them is just criticism, which is not, that's no substitute for Shastra Gyan. Just to come and preach, you know, in the back of the Sunday feast, you know, this is all wrong, this is not good. They're not really pure devotees. You know, this is not preaching. So then, what is the question of Bhakti Yoga then? Because these three Lord Chaitanya has given, they all must be there. Then we can see, oh, this is a devotee.
So if we see in our own minds that we also have so many points that's of criticism coming up, that is can be said as a sign of the result of Vairagya and Vidya, regularly sincerely studying. If that the result of those things waning, then automatically one becomes more critical or something, just to recognize your own increasing your desires.
And criticism means dissatisfaction. So devotees should be satisfied. Sometimes we have to criticize in the sense of someone who's responsible for a particular area of service sees a discrepancy. So he has to point it out. But this is for Krishna's service. This is not fault-finding. This is constructive. There's a difference between constructive and destructive criticism. So the criticism which is just arising from one's own dissatisfaction, like the example is of that Ramchandra Puri. He was always dissatisfied because he displeased his spiritual master by actually preaching impersonalism to him at the end of his life. So Srila Madhavendra Puri banished him. Get out of my sight, I don't want to see you. And after that, he, as it is described, he gradually came down to materialism, material platform, and was seeing all other devotees materially. And his whole business was just to find fault, you know, to arrange feasts and please eat more. This is transcendental Krishna prasadam. No, you can't refuse. I'm serving you in this way. I want to get your mercy. So take more, take more. And then after he filled them up, then he would say, how can you be in the renounced order of life when you eat so much? This was his business. Fault finding. Yes, so this is the material platform. When one displeases the previous authorities and falls down to the material platform, that's the only taste that's left. Fault finding. Yes?
When I asked about these activities being distinct from one's previous life, what about the Navahata members? Because they, of course, perform activities which are no different from their previous lives, in one sense, they go to their job. So how does that
mean? Well, it has to be seen if they're making progress. or if they're falling back. Namhata, they're on a certain level, a certain track of advancement, a little bit slower. But if they're advancing, then they're advancing. That's good.
So, but then it will manifest in preaching activities?
Yes, yes, that's a test. When there's opportunity for Harinam, or any opportunity for them to present Krishna consciousness to others less fortunate than themselves, and if they feel enlivened by doing this, that means they've got a taste. It's good. Yes?
In this stage of Kali, the holy name is only, the chanting of the holy name is only yagya, only sacrifice. But how then you have other forms of austerities, like these four ability principles and others? So it is actually, is it only holy name or others?
That is the method of chanting the holy name. Prabhupada told the story of a yogi who used to perform an austerity of standing in the river in the cold winter months in northern India. And so he became very celebrated. So it was brought to the attention of one rich man that this yogi is very austere. He's standing in up to the neck in the cold river all night. So the rich man went to see. And he actually made a bet with the yogi that tonight, if you stay all night, if you can actually do this, and up to your neck in the river water, then I will give you such and such amount of 10,000 rupees. The yogi said, sure, I'll do it. So some men were posted to watch. The rich man went home with his servant. Actually, it was the servant who brought this yogi to the rich man's attention. The servant was a little interested that this yogi gets some donation or whatever from the rich man. So that was the condition, that the yogi would stay all night in the river. So he did it. The rich man came the next morning. Those persons who were watching said, yes, he didn't move, he was there. So the rich man was ready to pay, but then a friend of the rich man who came along said, wait, just see. And he pointed to a distant flame on top of a temple. Said, actually what that yogi did was, he was drawing the heat from that flame by his mystic power into his body and keeping warm. So actually he was not enduring the cold. It's not that he's austere. He stays warm that way, and in this way he tricks people and gets their money. So you shouldn't pay him. So then the rich man said, all right. But the servant was dissatisfied. So the rich man, because this was early in the morning, he went home and was expecting the servant to prepare his breakfast. The servant went in the kitchen, but didn't come out for a long time. The rich man was calling, where's my breakfast? Should be done by now. And the servant said, just takes a little while longer. So then the rich man waited. I'm getting hungry. Where's my breakfast? Oh, a little bit more time. Finally, the rich man came in the kitchen, and he saw that his servant had made a little flame on the floor, and then he'd hung the pot from the ceiling. And it was about 2 meters between the two. And the rich man said, what are you doing? And the servant said, well, I'm cooking your breakfast by the same process that yogi brought flame into his body. So if you can accept that he did that, then you can accept that I will be able to cook your breakfast by the same method. So that way the rich man could understand, oh, my servant is unhappy. So then he went and paid the yogi his promised amount. So Prabhupada told this story to illustrate that you have to follow the process. You see? We can say, just like you say, the holy name is the only way or the best way. So we can say that sweet rice, it's a fact. It is said, sweet rice is the best of foods. But how are you going to get sweet rice? You have to follow the process. There's a process. It's not enough just say, sweet rice is the best of foods. What is sweet rice? Well, it's some rice and sugar. Okay, and then you, according to your own recipe, you mix some rice and sugar. That won't be sweet rice. There is a method to follow to make the sweet rice. So similarly, there's a method to follow to chant the holy name of the Lord. If you don't follow the method, then you're not chanting. You're not actually chanting the holy name of the Lord. Krishna is not obliged, just like Krishna is not obliged to be present in the deity. Krishna offers us this opportunity. If we approach the deity with reverential loving service, and we're sincere, then Krishna, he's within the deity to receive our service. But he's not obliged. It's not that Krishna's captured every time you make a form out of stone. But Krishna has to be there. He's captured. And whatever we do, he has to accept his service. Even if it's complete nonsense. Now Krishna reserves the right to not be there. And similarly within the syllables of the holy name. If one is chanting offensively, if one is, you know, not following the approved process, then Krishna reserves the right not to be present in that vibration. And that's why it is pointed out that the sahajiyas, they gradually lose the taste for Harinam. Harinam is the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're apparently followers of Mahaprabhu. But if you examine these sahaja sampradayas, one sees that their main activity is not chanting. They only do that for show. They have in Bengal this Nam Yug where they get together and they're practiced musicians, they're practiced actors, and they have a big show of chanting and crying and they get money. But actually, otherwise, what are they doing? They're all doing all strange things. Tantra yoga, you know, sex yoga, things like that. This is the real practices because they have no taste from the holy name. Therefore, in the name of spiritual life, they take up actually extremely sinful materialistic activities which are supposed to be their private sadhana. You see, and it's just sex life because they have no higher taste. So this is not chanting. This means they're not getting anything out of the chanting. They're not chanting the holy name. Krishna is not present in those syllables that they chant. All right, so we'll stop here. It's 8:30. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.